Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Those born and bred in the heart of Dixie have a vocabulary all their own. It's not man, but mayon. It's not thing, but thang. It's never fire, but far. It's not vehicle, but vehicle, right? You'll never hear anyone talking about going to a dance. They're going to a dance. It's big business way down south. It's not oil business. It's all business. But if you weren't raised down south, like I wasn't, all you need to do is say one word, and a true Southerner, a true Hoosier, will say, y'all ain't from around here, are ya? Now, it only takes one word. It's true if you're a Yankee in Dixie. It's even more true if you are the Lord's servant. In our text, the servant says, he made my mouth like a sharp sword. A mouth like a sharp sword is one thing that's similar to the mouth of the coming Davidic deliverer, described as the one who will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. Unlike the Persian king Cyrus, who waged war against Babylon according to the flesh, the servant will employ weapons not of the flesh, but that have divine power to destroy strongholds. In a world in which the rise and fall of nations appear to be determined not by prophetic pronouncements, but by imperial armies, this may seem like a feeble piece of equipment. But in Isaiah 40 through 55, the power of God's word is highlighted. In Isaiah 40, verse 8, grass withers, flowers fade, and the word of the Lord God stands forever. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And then again from Isaiah's third servant song, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. You know, when God speaks, things happen. It only takes a word. Right? For example, you know, a road sign will say stop, and we stop. A parent might look at a dirty room and say clean, and we clean quickly, hopefully. A bill says due, and if we have the money, we pay now. In these instances, it only takes a word. Writing in the 8th century BC, Isaiah presents the servant to those Israelites who were exiled in Babylon in the 6th century BC. Their temple had been burned and demolished. Their king Zedekiah had his eyes gouged out at Riblah after witnessing the butchering of his sons. Judah's entire way of living had come to a brutal end by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar and his captain Nebuzaradan. The exiles only knew defeat. Their liturgy, their cries are summarized in these words from chapter 40, verse 27. Oh, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God. Right? They felt utterly abandoned by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. My way is hidden from Yahweh. Now look, if you have ever been abandoned by a spouse or left by a parent, you've echoed these words. If you've ever been hurt so deeply and badly that you couldn't reach deep down inside enough to express the pain, well, then you've lived through this nightmare. If you've ever fought horrifying demons from your past, then you know this chaos. If you have ever been isolated for a period of time, you may feel as if God has forgotten about you. Overcome by life in Babylon, the exiles turned to the fleeting, the temporary, the quick fixes. They were so bold as to say in Isaiah 55 or 56, verse 12, come, let me get wine. Let us drink our fill of beer. That's kind of interesting as a side note that during this time of shelter in place, our friends to the north in Wisconsin, those those northerners are under a similar directive from their governor. They have on their list of essential businesses, those things that can remain open, liquor stores. Ah, oh, dear. Come, let us get wine. Let us drink our fill of beer. In the agony of defeat, so often you and I, boy, we get sucked into what's shallow, superficial, cheap, and dirty, looking for quick revenge. Spouses get tangled up in one-night stands. Students take shortcuts. And then when they're caught cheating, parents neglect their children to pour everything into their own careers. And the result? We find ourselves in the despair of exile. And we cry out, "My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God." Well, enter Yahweh's servant, who says in our text, "He made my mouth like a sharp sword." Just one word will set right what is wrong with our lives. To quote the Ethiopian eunuch who speaks to Philip about this same servant, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And then Philip told him the good news about Jesus. Jesus is the servant in our text who needs only one word to accomplish his Father's mission and to bring order to a fallen and a shattered world. Anointed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism, Jesus is thrust into the wilderness to meet the enemy. He goes to battle with a thunderous graphitai, which, although one word in Greek, means "it is written" in English. To the bruised reeds and the smoldering wicks, like the man with leprosy, his word is kalesithai, which, again, just one word in Greek, we translate it as "be clean." He rebuked the chaotic wind and waves with "saupa," "be quiet." And to the deaf and the dumb man, he cries out, "Ephatha," "be opened." Luther put it in this way, and forgive my pronunciation, "Ein Wörtlein kann ihn fällen," or "one little word can fell him." The centurion in Matthew 8:8 gets it right when he says to Jesus, "But just say the word, and my servant will be healed." Climactically, Jesus would marshal just one word. Isaiah's third servant song sets the stage. "I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting." Arrested, bound, tried, slapped, beaten, stripped, scourged, abandoned, spiked, forsaken, he uttered one more word. Tetelestai. In English, "it is finished." All that the Old Testament had foreshadowed, foretold, predicted, prefigured, and promised is now complete, done, and finished. The serpent is crushed, the lamb is slain, the atonement is made, the Passover is complete, and the banquet is ready. From the cross, he speaks one-word descriptions over us: forgiven, washed, cleansed, justified, loved. Meaning what? Meaning he still speaks order into our chaos. Hebrews 4:12 puts it this way: "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. His word connected with water, bread, and wine, placed upon our foreheads and into our mouths, delivers restoration, healing, and forgiveness. We are brought in the blood, sealed with the sacraments, and abounding in hope and joy." But the final restoration is yet to come. At his second coming, the servant will return as a rider on a white horse. His name will be called Faithful and True, and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On that day, the ultimate one-word victory will be uttered, and we will finally come home. John records it in Revelation 21:6. Gegonin, it is done. You know, to the student who holds defeated dreams, he speaks. To the couple with a barren womb and fervent prayers, he speaks. To those quarantined and feeling isolated, he speaks. To the Christian who daily fights with his flesh only to lose time after time, he speaks. To any person who has felt the sting of death, the power of the law, or the torment of guilt, he speaks. And so we speak back to him. Lord, just say the word, and we will be healed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.